got your Bibles, open up to the book of Revelation. If you got your Bible, you can turn it on, open the book, whatever it takes. I want you to be able to look at it. If you don't have a Bible with you, you're going to see it on the screen. It'll come on. You can grab a piece of paper. We take a lot of notes, and I go through things pretty quickly. I try to. Last week, somebody left and said, man, you were like on 1.5 speed on the in relation to a podcast. I was moving last week. Well, it'd be similar to the same today. I've got a lot that I want you to be able to look at and to see, and I want you to be able to take some notes so that you can go back and you can even do some looking. I love sports. I mean, I'm not like the rabid fan like that shuts down everything, but I enjoy sports. One of the greatest things I like about sports are the unique trivia things about it. Living here now almost 20 years, I've never had the opportunity to be at Neyland Stadium on a Saturday. I am open. Just make sure it's a late game or it's an early game so I can be back ready to go. But I've never been. But I remember I've been here long enough now, back in 2015, it was a terrible game, just to be real honest with you. I mean, they were up 17-0. Some of you diehards, you know this. They were up 17-0 against Oklahoma in 2015, and then Oklahoma stormed back and killed them. They ended up winning. Oklahoma did. But here's the unique thing about that day. That day, there was a record that was set for Neyland Stadium that on the field, okay? Now remember, 102,000 or more in the stadium, but on the field during the game, it reached over 114 decibels on the field. They couldn't even hear the play call. Could you imagine what that was like? Listen, imagine what it would be like if UT was actually good today, what it would be like. Hopefully this year, don't throw anything. Hopefully this year, we're going to get to see that happen, all right? But today, in Revelation chapter 11, you're going to see something that takes place that was extremely loud. Lots of worship, lots of sounding, lots of going off in Revelation chapter 11. We're going to be looking at verses 15 through 19. So if you got your Bibles, open up there, and I'm going to begin reading now as we begin to go through. Revelation chapter 9, verses 15 through 19 says this, Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Those of you who like classical music, Handel's Messiah, and he shall reign. I'll stop. But you get it. Forever, forever, forever. That's where that is right there, all right? Thank you. And verse 16, and the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. Verse 17, saying, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, who is and who was, for you have taken your great power and begun to reign. The nations raged, but your wrath came. And the time for the dead to be judged and for the rewarding of your saints, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, both small and great, and for destroying the destroyers of the earth. Verse 19, then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within the temple. There were flashes of lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder, an earthquake, and heavy hail. You've seen this before around the throne when there is worship, and you're seeing it now where you're seeing that very last trumpet that is blown, and his reign now begins. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of things that we're going to try to see today that I think we're going to be able to notice. So if you're taking some notes, this will help you. This is a little roadmap. Number one, as we walk through today, we're going to see that the kingdom of the world rages. The kingdom of the world rages. The second thing that we're going to be able to notice is that the kingdom of God, though, triumphs. While the kingdom of the world rages, the kingdom of God triumphs. Notice that he said in verse 15, won't you look there? Verse 15, he said that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of the Lord. That the kingdom of the world has now become the kingdom of the Lord. Notice that John didn't say kingdoms. That's not a plural. There's no S on that. There's one, and it is the kingdom singular. Now, you should have been reading. We've been talking about Daniel chapter 7, 12. We've been reading all through Daniel in addition to what we've been reading in Revelation, because anytime you're reading Revelation, what you know is this. If you see something new, you see something odd, so to speak, it's not new and it's not odd. It's been talked about somewhere in the Old Testament somewhere, because there's over 600 references to the Old Testament. For those of you who have been around for the last 10, 12 weeks and you're going, man, he's repeating this, I want you to get this. This is so important. Because Revelation wasn't meant to be hidden from us. It was meant to illuminate all the promises of God in the Old Testament are now fulfilled, because God is a keeper of his promises. He is a keeper of his word. You can count on that. And so here what we're beginning to see is that he is keeping his word here. In Daniel chapter 7, Daniel sees a vision, and he sees these different beast in Daniel chapter 7, it talks about. Well, those beasts represent the kingdoms with an S, that were to come and to rule. And those kingdoms were represented by different beasts. Well, what you now see in Revelation chapter 11 is that all of those kingdoms, remember we've talked about those worldly systems, those godless systems, the world system, all of those represent and find their root in the beast, the enemy, the one who has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Whether that is the kingdom of Greece of those days, the empire of Greece, or the kingdom of Rome, whether that would be the kingdom of Nazi Germany, whether that would be the kingdom of communist China, communist Russia, or pleasure-seeking, hedonistic United States of America. All of those kingdoms find their reign and rule. All of the Daniel 7 beasts are now finding they all have their genesis in the beast. The beast that is going to be overthrown and overruled. Now, the kingdom of the world here is a way of simply saying, it is a way of saying that the world's opposition to his word and his rule. The kingdom of the world is against the rule and the reign of God. How is it expressed? Well, I believe it's in 1 John, where in 1 John, John writes, and he talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the cravings of man. That those things are lived out in those ways, how the enemy seeks to come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have an abundant life. In fact, he talks about his kingdom reigning. Folks, when the scripture says, look at verse 18. In verse 18, and I think it's very interesting here that verse 18 is all in past tense. Notice that he says that the nations, they raged, but your wrath came. While the nations are raging here, this is a very direct reference to Psalm 2. If you got your Bibles, go back to Psalm 2, because we're going to look at, and I want you to put your finger there. We're going to talk through Psalm 2 a little bit also today. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this. The psalmist writes, and he says, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? Verse 2 says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Notice that's a capital A. That should sound familiar to you, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. Listen, the nations make up the kingdom of the world. The nations, S, make up the kingdom of this world. And it is fighting against. It is, as Paul would say, kicking against the goads. It is fighting against everything that is the kingdom of the world, or excuse me, the kingdom of God. Folks, over the last several weeks, I've been trying to point out to you several things, because what ends up happening oftentimes when we read Revelation, we're looking so far in the future at what is to come that we forget that we are living in those days today. We're living in those. And that the kingdom of the world are still raging today. They're kicking against the Lord. They're kicking against His holy word. And I want you to hear this. We are experiencing that even today in which we are living here in the United States. What once was, man, His word guiding us no longer does that. And some of you may go, boy, that's like old school. Well, listen, you realize that our country was built and founded on Judeo-Christian ethic within the scriptures. That doesn't mean that we were a Christian nation, but it does mean that people followed and they honored what the laws of God has to say. But even today, and I want you to hear this. I want you to make sure that you hear this. Listen, the things that we're facing today, they're not political. They're spiritual. Okay? I want to make sure that you hear that. They're spiritual. But I want you to know that when the nations rage, they bring the spiritual into the political. And today in which we face today, abortion is at an all-time high. Homosexual marriage is great. When I say great, I don't mean it's great. I mean it's great among us, among our country. And these are things that God's law, His word, calls us to not do and to stand against. It's legislated depravity. And you know what that is? It's the nations raging. Why do the nations rage? The nations are raging. Folks, I just want you to know, the Bible tells us that God created us male and female. Male and female, He created us. And yet today, there's confusion. There's confusion. Yet I want you to hear, it is the nations that are raging. Folks, did you realize? I don't know that you do. And the reason I bring this up is because I want you to know, we're not talking about the future. We're talking about, this is what we live in today. This is what we live in today. Do you know that before Congress today, there are two bills, the Equality Act and the Infrastructure Bill, that speak more about LGBTQ+. You know what plus stands for, don't you? Any of the letters that will begin to be added. It's the open door. I literally mean that. That's not a joke. They're more about that than they are infrastructure and equality. It is the nations that are raging. Folks, that's where we are today. But I want you to hear this. Just like I always tell you, why did God give John Revelation? And why did John then write it to give to us in the churches? So that we could have hope in the day in which we live. Did you realize around the world today that there are people who literally face and live in nations that are raging to where they can't even live today, where they can't worship freely and openly, and people are dying for their faith? Yet we are still able to live in the country that we live in, gathered the way we are today. Many of us, we don't even face ridicule for our faith. And there are people who are dying. There's a ministry called Open Doors. Open Doors. It talks about persecution. It talks about this ministry follows the persecuted church. So it's opendoorsusa.org. Opendoorsusa.org. I tell you, this is the fourth time and a fourth message I've shared this with you. You should be looking this up because there are brothers and sisters who are dying around the world for their faith. And yet we struggle and can I stand for my faith? I want you to hear in the midst of where we are today, we can still stand strong today. Every year, Open Doors publishes a newsletter. They publish an article. It's called World Watch. And the World Watch newsletter comes out every year. So the one that just came out in 2021, here are some interesting things about what's happening and the nations that are raging. Listen to this. Every day, 12 churches and 12 church buildings are Christian buildings. Every day are attacked. Every day there are 12 Christians. I want you to catch this. Every day there are 12 Christians that are unjustly arrested or imprisoned. And 5 others are abducted. This happens every single day. From October 2019 to September 2020, there were over 5,600 people who were killed in Nigeria because of their Christian faith. In Nigeria. North Korea, for the last 20 years, has been the most deadliest place for a believer. Last year, approximately 91% of all the recorded killings of Christians happened on the continent of Africa. Folks, this is the nations raging and kicking against God. Yet, I want you to hear, these people here that I just talked about, they believe Revelation was written to them to give them hope in the midst of which they are standing. And I want you to hear me. This may sound like gloom and doom. Oh, America, I want you to hear this. Do you realize that as believers, we have the power to stand on his word, even in what we're in today? And I want you to know, Revelation says it's only going to get worse and worse and worse. But thanks be to God, the seventh trumpet blows. When he blows that trumpet, the scripture tells us that everything changes. Everything changes. So while the nations rage, number two, I want you to see this, that the kingdom of God triumphs. I said we're going to spend a little time in Psalm 2. So if you got your Bibles, go back over it. Let's look at Psalm 2 again. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. I stopped at verse 3, I'm going to go back to verse 4 and start reading again. Notice this. Just to kind of go back. In fact, if you don't mind, would you go back over to Psalm 2, 1 and 2? So I'm going to get the flow for us here. Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing one, saying, 'Let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.'" Notice in verse 4 now, "He who sits in heaven laughs." He laughs at it. At the raging, he laughs at it. "The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, 'As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" That should sound familiar to you. Verse 8, "Ask of me and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore, O kings, be wise and be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him." Folks, I want you to know that the nations rage, but those of us who have followed him, who have been awakened to his grace and his mercy, who have surrendered and submitted our lives to him, I want you to know you triumph. It may look today may look very dim for you. You may be thinking, how do I stand? I want you to know there is hope in Jesus, because one day the scripture says he's going to come and he's going to crush his enemies. He's going to crush his enemies. Do you notice in verse 9, it says, "You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel." The scripture tells us that while the kingdom of the world rages against God, the kingdom of God triumphs. In the dictionary, dictionary.com, if you take that as a real thing, whether it's Webster's, it's Merriam, it's Oxford, they all aggregate from the same. Here's what dictionary.com defines kingdom as a country, a state, or a territory that is ruled by a king or a queen. Do you realize that most of Western Europe has a king or a queen? UK, you just saw royalty passed yesterday, the burial yesterday. Belgium, where we have a campus, Life Point Belgium, Life Point Brussels, there is a king. Thailand, there is a king in Thailand. So many of the places we are and the places that we go to, we travel, we take the gospel to, there is a king. And what this is referring to when it talks about the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. Did you realize that you are exhibiting and living under the rule of reign of God today, I hope, as a follower of Jesus Christ? Listen, in case you do not know, you have been drafted into the Lord's army. That's not like a little childhood song that we sing. That is the truth. When a army takes over and goes into a country, country A into country B, whatever it looks like, city A, city B, when they go in, they set up rule and reign right there. They are taking new ground right there. Did you realize that's what you've been called to do? You are part of his army. So the house that you live in should be holy ground. It is the Lord's area. And you know what you're to do? We are to extend his rule and his reign, his kingdom in our neighborhoods. Now, that doesn't mean we go over, we charge the door, we're going to plant a flag, run the Christian flag up. No, what that means is that you go and you are influencing your neighbors. You go into your workplace and you're influencing your workplace as a here's a big word, as a vice regent, as one who is royalty, a holy priesthood, a royal nation, you're going in and you're representing him. You are a part of his right now kingdom. You've heard me talk about the kingdom being right now and not yet. Well, us living in his right now kingdom, when you talk about the Lord's Prayer, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are living out his right now kingdom by following after him, his rule and his reign in our lives. So what does that look like? That looks like people where we live in a greedy society, should be the most generous people. Whether it's finances, whether it's time, whether it's your talent, you giving, you being a giver. Where you see people who are literally raging against the rule of God, you living submissively to the word of God and walking in their lives and being able to give a reason for the hope for which you were called. Listen, do you know what something that is missing today? Kindness. Kindness. How about you being a kind person? Not so that it terminates on you, but so that, why are you different? How come you didn't chew me out when I screwed up your order? Well, because Jesus is my Lord. I mean, I'm a screwed up order. And he loves me. I was talking about y'all, not me. Listen, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit should be alive in us. And as we live that out, that is living under the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. His kingdom alive in us today. This is what we've been called to. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? But I want you to know that we live in a world that is still under the curse of sin. We live out his rule and his reign now, his kingdom now, but we are praying, Maranatha, Lord, come, because we're looking for that future kingdom. When he comes and he dashes his enemies, when he crushes his enemies, that seventh trumpet blows, and we are called up to meet him. Pastor Kevin DeYoung, I don't know those of you who might do a little study, he is a pastor in North Carolina. He illustrates this way, and I thought it was very interesting in how he illustrated this. He illustrates it by saying that, you know, in November every 4 years, we all go to a ballot box and we end up electing a new president, or 8 years if the other one ends up staying in office. Well, in that electing, let's say that president is defeated, that sitting president is defeated. He doesn't leave office right then, though, does he? It's not till January 20th that the new president is inaugurated. But while that in-between time, that old president is still reigning, he is still ruling, he is still governing. Folks, that's where we are today. Did you realize that Jesus is alive? He is on his throne. And what looks out of control to you, nothing happens in this world outside of his allowance of it. He rules and he reigns today. But I do want you to know that the scripture talks about that there is a power. There is the prince of the air. There is the one who is the ruler of this world. And today, he is ruling and reigning. And the question is, are you and I living in the kingdom of God under his rule and his reign, or are we just fading in? We just jump in and we're going to live the way the rule of this world lives. Listen, while the nations rage, we have the opportunity to stand strong. Why? Because Jesus has already defeated the enemy. And we now sit and we wait for him to inaugurate his kingdom. How did he defeat the enemy? By his death on the cross. He came and he lived a perfect life, the scripture tells us. He laid his life down. It wasn't taken from him. He was crucified on a cross. He laid his life down. The shepherd lays his life down for his sheep. He laid his life down for those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. The scripture says he was put into a tomb, and 3 days later, he arose. He is resurrected. He is the risen king today who now reigns. So we have the ability. We have the hope. We can live in the kingdom of God right now while we wait for the not yet kingdom to be here. Do you remember when Moses died? In Deuteronomy chapter, the end of Deuteronomy, forgive me exactly which chapter it is, but in Deuteronomy, at the end of it, Moses goes up on the mountain. He's given the ability to look over and to see the promised land. Remember, Moses didn't get to go into the promised land because in his anger, he struck the rock to make water come from it. And the Lord said, because you've disobeyed, you won't be able to go into the promised land. I'm gonna let you look in grace, out of grace. I'm gonna let you look and see. He died. God buried him on the mountain. Do you remember who his protege was that took over at that point? It's Joshua. The scripture says that Joshua then is given the responsibility to lead them across the Jordan River. The Jordan split. They walked through on dry ground. Sound familiar? Walking through the Red Sea like Moses. He walks through. The very first city they come to that they have to take to go into the land is Jericho. Now, this should be familiar to you because the picture of Jericho is something we've been talking about all through Revelation. Do you remember what happened at Jericho? Joshua tells them, he says, listen, we're going to send the Ark of the Covenant, God's covenant presence, what represented. We're going to send the Ark out. It's going to go first, and then we're going to go out, and the priests are going to blow the trumpets. We're going to walk around the city for 6 days, and there's not going to be anything said. On the seventh day, we're going to do that exact same thing, but we're going to do it 7 times. We're going to be quiet. And then when they make the one final trumpet blast, it'll be a long one. You're not going to know. You're going to know when it is. And when it does, you're going to shout out with a loud shout. And what's going to happen? The walls will come down. You will rush in. And you will crush the enemy. Folks, this is a picture right here of what is happening. We're getting to see this lived out through the scripture. I'm praying, I'll be real honest with you, I'm praying that I get to stay alive to see Jesus come again, okay? But if he chooses to tarry longer, this is what's going to happen. Many people ask me and say, you know, Kyle, you've been talking about this from a more symbolic nature and those types of things. So do you believe he's literally going to return? I want you to hear me. There's going to be a day. The scripture tells us that we're going to see him. Every eye will see him. The skies will split. We will see him. He will return. The scripture tells us that there's going to be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, I believe he is coming again. Literally, he's going to come. We're going to literally be able to walk with him and talk with him and see him. But I believe here in scripture, what we begin to see is the way Revelation is written from an apocalyptic standpoint, that it is more symbolic in nature for us today from that standpoint. Notice in verse 17, go back over to Revelation chapter 11, verse 17. Revelation 17, chapter 11, verse 17, says the 24 elders praising God, and they say this. Notice what they say. Thanks to God who is and was, for you have taken your great power and you have begun tonight. Now, anywhere that is read, anywhere that song is sung in the previous chapters of Revelation, do you remember how it was typically sung and read? To him who was, to him who is, and is to come. Folks, the reason that's not here anymore, because the scripture says he has come at this point. He has already begun to reign at this point. Jesus is alive. He has the final trumpet. He has come back to earth at this point. Now, for those of you who are Revelation geekheads, I think this right here makes it very difficult for me to be able to see a literal Revelation 20 millennial reign of Christ. Because remember, what we read in Revelation, it's a picture book. It's not a chronological storybook. It's pictures that we see that he's trying to help us to see. And what we see here in this very chapter, chapter 11, is that the trumpet blows and he begins to reign right here. This is 9 chapters before chapter 20, all right? So if you read it differently, that's all right. You and I are brothers and sisters. Here's what I know for certain. However you interpret this, the 4 different ways that we talked about on week 1, here's what I want you to know. If I'm wrong and you're right, guess what? I'm going when you go. And if I'm right and you're wrong, you're going to go when I go. We're all going together, all right? Now, if I get to choose, notice in Revelation 11, 18, he tells us that 2 things are going to happen when Jesus returns. Number 1, he's going to pour out his final wrath. You see that? It says he's going to pour out his final wrath on all the evil and all the evildoers. Who is that? It's the nations that are raging. It's the people who don't submit, those who don't bow their knee. Now, I want you to hear this. The wrath of God was designed for the beast. That's who it was designed for. But I want you to hear me. If you attach yourself to the beast, you get what the beast gets. This is why I'm standing here telling you today, when Jesus died on the cross, what did he take? He took the wrath of God for all who would surrender. I don't want the wrath of God. I didn't have to take it because Jesus took it for me. You don't have to take the wrath of God on the beast. If you don't follow Christ today, I'm calling you. Would you surrender your life to Jesus Christ today? This morning, we spread out all over this auditorium, those who got here early, and we prayed for where you're sitting. Everywhere you're sitting, someone has prayed around that area. And we've asked God, would you use your word to draw men and women to yourself? And so today, what I call you is that you have the opportunity to escape the wrath of God. You have that opportunity. And today, right now, he's calling some of you. Listen, he awakens us to salvation. The scripture talks about being chosen and elect. And you might go, well, how do I know if I'm chosen? How do I know if I'm elect? Well, listen, if you desire to follow Christ right now and he's calling you, he's calling you to respond. If you respond, you've been chosen and elected. If you choose not to respond, you're kicking, you are raging against him. And one day, you know what the scripture tells us? He gives us exactly what we desire. So if you don't desire Christ, you desire your rule and your reign, guess what? One day you're going to have that. But before it's too late, I'm asking you, I'm pleading when you, would you come to him? Notice that it also says that he says that all are going to be rewarded. Notice in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel 12, 2. If you got a pen, write that down. I want you to see it, or you can see it on the screen. You can go back to it. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2 says, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That 7th trumpet, when we will all rise and we're all going to go to 1 or 2 places. Now, I want to say this. As a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, this I don't want this to scare you. This should not scare you, because you've surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the scripture tells us that as those who follow Christ, that our judgment has already happened. that great white throne judgment in relationship to life and death, when you came to Jesus Christ and you surrendered your life to him, when he opened your eyes and you responded in faith, you know what? You were judged righteous. Not because of anything you've done, but because of Jesus and you coming under his blood. You were judged as righteous. That was your judgment. But I want you to know today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you're still raging against his rule and his reign in your life, I want you to know the scripture says that there's going to be a day when that seventh trumpet blows, when all will rise. Those who are still alive, who see him, the dead in Christ shall rise. The rest of us will be caught up. We'll be there before him. The scripture tells us at that moment, we will be judged as to whether or not we have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ. You know who's going to be there? Those who have not surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. And the scripture tells us that all throughout the New Testament, even in the Old Testament, it talks about a place of weeping and gnashing where the worm never dies, where the fire is never quenched. I want you to hear me. I believe that to be a very literal place. I think that the writers wrote in the best language that they knew of that day. And I want you to know that I believe that it'll be worse than, as bad as that sounds, I believe it'll be worse than even what that language sounds like. Just like I believe the writers wrote in the best language they knew for heaven, and as wonderful as it sounds, it's going to be even greater than we could ever imagine. And today, I'm calling you, if you've never surrendered your life, today's the day that you get the opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, the scripture tells us that we also will be judged. Not based on life and death, heaven and hell, because we were judged righteous when we surrendered our life to Christ. But the scripture tells us that we're going to be rewarded for what we have done as part of the work of Christ. Now, we don't work for our salvation. You need to hear that. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's nothing you can do. You can't give enough money. You can't walk enough across the street enough old ladies. You can't dog walk enough people. You can't serve in kids ministry, though we need you in kids ministry and preschool ministry. It will not get you into heaven. It may make you cuss, but it will not get you into heaven. I'm kidding. But I want you to hear, you will be rewarded, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians. And I want you to hear this. The scripture tells us. Some are going to have great rewards. Some will have, it says, you're going to be saved as by the fire. You're going to have few rewards. Here's what I know about all the rewards. Whether you got a pile this high or my thimbleful, the scripture tells us that we're going to take it all and we're going to cast it at the feet of Jesus because he's the only one that is worthy. And today, that's what I call you to. Matthew chapter 25, verse 21, Jesus is speaking. It's right after that the Olivet Discourse in chapter 24 that we've talked a lot about. He says there's going to be a day where he calls his servants and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with little. I'll put you in charge of much. You'll be rewarded for that. Verse 19, and I close. Verse 19 says that God's temple is opened. The Ark of the Covenant is visible. There's flashing lightning, there's peals of thunder, there's earthquakes, there's hail. Scripture tells us that it's loud. People are exclaiming praise. They're calling out. The elders are falling down. Worthy are you. Who was and is, because you reign today. The scripture tells us, we know that the Ark of the Covenant was the visible symbolic presence of God. It held the covenant law that Moses got. Those tablets, those second set, they put it in the ark. They put a jar of the manna. They took Aaron's staff that budded. They put it there. It was symbolized his presence and his rule and his reign. It was like his footstool, the scripture says, where he rested in the tabernacle. It was the symbolic presence. There was a veil in front of it. Whenever they would go out, the scripture tells us, when they went out to Jericho to march around it, they had to cover it. No one could see it. Only one time a year could the high priest go in. On the Day of Atonement, he would go in, take some of the sacrificial blood, and he would sprinkle it around. So they would wrap it up so that when that ark took off, when they broke camp, when they went on a battle, and that ark went, it was the presence of God going before them. The scripture tells us that on the day that Jesus was crucified in the temple, in the Holy of Holies, there the ark sat. The scripture says that veil that was in front of it. Do you remember what happened to that veil when Jesus said, "It is finished"? The scripture says that the veil of the temple, it tore from top to bottom, opened up, symbolizing there is no more need for sacrifice. His blood is sufficient. Do you realize what the scripture says here in verse 19, what it's pointing to? It's pointing to the fact that Jesus' blood is sufficient, that it is in his presence is inaugurated. You now have entrance. You now see the one that you have longed to see. Not because of anything you've done, but because of Jesus Christ and his blood. No more sprinkling. Jesus died once and for all so that now we get to enter into his presence. This is what the ark is. His presence inaugurated, his rule and his reign. And that is what we call you to today. Father, I love you and I thank you. Father, I'm asking that today, the nations that are raging, the people in this room who are not desiring to surrender their life to you. They came here today kicking against your will and your way. They're here today because someone just invited them. God, they're here today because there's something that has drawn them. We know that to be your Holy Spirit. And so today I'm asking, would you save them? God, would you give them courage to step out? God, would you give them courage to come and talk to me? Would you give them courage to speak to someone near them and say, I need what that God's talking about. God, would you give them courage right where they are to surrender their lives to you? God, I'm asking that today for those who are in here, who are followers of yours, that their hope seems to be flickering. They don't know how they're going to make it. They're stressed, they're worried. God, even in this moment, they've realized that there's someone in their life that doesn't know you. God, I pray that you would give them hope. I pray that you would give them courage. God, I pray that you would call them to open their voice today to those that do not know you. God, our hope is in you. Jesus, our hope is in you. And it is a sure foundation. We know that you are returning. And we long for the long trumpet blast when the kingdom of this world will be destroyed. The beast will be overtaken. We see you and we worship you today. For it's in the name of Jesus that I ask these things.